Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, as I mentioned, man, I am really, really excited to be kicking off a brand new series of messages entitled Tales from the Inn. That's right, Tales from the Inn. You might be thinking, well, maybe that sounds a little bit familiar. Yeah, if you've been in our community for any length of time, you know we did a similar series of messages last year as well entitled Tales from the Inn. And what these are simply stories of people right here in our community who have experienced change in their life because of what Jesus has done, because of our community. And I'm excited to share some of these stories with you. But maybe you're a little confused right now. And you're thinking, but why Tales from the Inn? Well, maybe you have heard us refer to ourselves as the Inn. Actually, I'm wearing one of our shirts that we gave out to our servant leaders, the Inn, here at NCC. See, here at North Point, we believe that the church is supposed to be the Inn at the crossroads of life. And we take that out of the parable that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But a few things that you might want to know about inns, especially back in Jesus's day, is that inns were places of refuge, and they were strategically placed in places of danger so that people could feel welcomed and so that people could feel safe. And at the inn, people found what they needed for their journey. They found safety. They found food. They found shelter. They found water. And this is the reality, is that we're all on a journey. Every one of us are on a journey. And guess what? We all need help. So we all need the inn as we journey with Jesus. We're going to go today and look at Luke chapter 10. And man, this story is so critical and crucial to our identity here at North Point. And so I'm just going to make our way through the story and bring out some things as we go. But we're going to start in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, the scripture says, one day, An expert in religious law is speaking to the Word. An expert in the Word of God is literally speaking to the Word of God, Jesus, right? So one day, an expert of the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" See, it's very important that we see this here. Jesus says, what does it say? But then he asks a follow-up question. He says, how do you read it? And that's because your interpretation of the information is more influential in your life than the intention of the information. And we'll say that again. Your interpretation of the information is more influential in your life than the intention of the information. You see, it's not just what God says, it's how do you see what God says. It is what is your interpretation. God could have an intention, but if that is not your interpretation, if you don't see it right, then it's not going to be right. And so the man answers. And he says, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. So what Jesus says, he says, look, you see it correctly. Now just be what you see. Just walk out your words. Jesus says, yes, you are correct. Just do this and you will live. You will live the abundant life if you carry out what you have said. And then the scripture says the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, anytime we are seeking to justify ourselves, we are sitting in a dangerous seat. Here, this religious expert is trying to prove that he is right, and he's trying to prove that he is right to the embodiment of righteousness on the earth. He is speaking to Jesus, the one who is righteous, and this expert is trying to prove that he is right. And I think about how many times do we do something similar? We try to prove that we are right. We want our way to be right. And we try to prove that we are right, but there is one who is righteous. There is one who is the righteousness of God, and that was Jesus. And that's who he is trying to justify himself to. And then the Bible says in verse 30, and Jesus replied with a story. Come on, when Jesus replied with a story, you know, hey, that means the hammer is about to come down. The mic is about to be dropped. And that's what Jesus does. He replies with a story. He says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. Now, historians and scholars tell us that this man would have been seen as foolish as Jesus was sharing the story, because nobody would have traveled this dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho alone. That would not have happened. He would have known better, or at least he should have known better. He was either careless or oblivious, but either way, it was his fault. He is the only one to blame for this incident. It says, by chance, Jesus continues on the story, by chance, a priest came along. Here this man is, he's beaten up, he's half dead, and a priest comes along, just by chance, a priest. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Now, these are two people who were positioned to help this man, and they both passed by. I mean, it was like kind of their responsibility to take care of God's people. And don't forget, the man who's been beaten up, he was a Jewish man. This is one of their tribe. This is who they are supposed to serve and who they are supposed to help and they are supposed to assist. And here they come upon this man who's been beaten and left half dead, and they pass him by. You know, and I wonder if it was their position that allowed them to actually pass by, because they had this title and they had this reputation, and maybe it was the title and the reputation that prevented them from actually taking responsibility for the man who was laying in the ditch. Now, let me just take a side note here, and we have to be very careful about the title that we take as Christian. We must be very careful about that title, because we can get so comfortable with the label that we forget about the labor. We can get so used to the identity that we ignore the responsibility. We can become so familiar with the position that we neglect the purpose. You see, we can't get so tangled up in the religion of Christianity that we skip out on the mission of Christ. And what exactly was that mission? Well, Jesus is about to tell us about that mission. And as Christians, we have to remember that we are Christ's followers. It's not about a religion. It is about a relationship, and then it is about a responsibility to live out the life that Jesus has called us to live. And so Jesus begins to share a little bit about that mission and about that life. And in verse 33, he says, then a despised Samaritan came along. A despised Samaritan. You see, Samaritans and Jews, they did not get along, and that's saying it nicely. They were to have no contact with one another. They had no connection. They did no business together. Jews actually saw Samaritans as half-breeds, as outcasts, as less than. And Jews actually used the term Samaritan actually as a derogatory term. Actually, in John chapter 8, verse 48, that Jews actually called Jesus, they say, "You Samaritan devil." They were so mad at Jesus for pointing out their flaws and their failures. They say, "You Samaritan devil." And we know this about the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, about the Messiah, and he said that Jesus would be despised and rejected. So as Jesus begins to tell the story, and he begins to say, this despised Samaritan, come on, could it be here that Jesus is alluding to himself, knowing that he was despised, knowing that he was rejected, knowing that they had put this term on Jesus, that he was a Samaritan devil. They had used that slang, derogatory terms to him. So here Jesus puts himself in the story as a despised Samaritan. And Jesus continues on and he says, when he saw the man, this despised Samaritan, this one who the Jews would have hated, this would have been the enemy in the story. When he saw the man, this Jewish man, he saw this Jewish man who had been beaten and left half dead, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. God, I want you to see this Samaritan, this despised Samaritan. He sees the man, but not only does he see the man, he feels something. Scripture says he felt compassion for him. And he just didn't feel compassion for him and say, oh, that's just so sad, and then move along. No, it says that he went to him. But not only did he go to him and maybe ask him a few questions or, no. It says then he began to serve him. And come on, doesn't that sound so much like Jesus? Come on, don't you know that Jesus sees you? And not only does Jesus see you, Jesus comes to you. And not only does Jesus come to you, then Jesus wants to serve you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Come on, Jesus, he is this good Samaritan. And now notice the Samaritan. The Samaritan didn't come with a list of questions in the story. The Samaritan didn't come with a list of conditions for the man who had just been beaten up. He didn't come asking, excuse me, sir, how did you get here? Sir, why were you traveling alone? Don't you know better than that? He didn't come say, sir, if I help you, what are you going to do for me? Is there going to be any benefit in this? What can you pay me? How can you pay me back if I do this favor for you? No, that's not what the Samaritan asked. And Jesus is the same. Jesus is the same. I want you to hear me today. Jesus doesn't care how you got in the ditch. Jesus just shows up to help you get out of the ditch. You see, Jesus is our good Samaritan. Because every single one of us, because of our sin nature, because of our poor choices, because of who we are and what we have done, we are in the ditch. And it doesn't matter how you got into the ditch. Jesus comes. You could have put yourself in, it could have been neglect and poor choices time and time again, even when you knew better and you knew you shouldn't have gone down that road and you went down that road anyway. You know you shouldn't have said that and you said that anyway. It does not matter. No matter how you get into the ditch, Jesus is just like the Good Samaritan. He doesn't come with questions and he doesn't come with conditions. He comes to love and he comes to serve and he comes to get you out of the ditch. Jesus is our Good Samaritan. You see, Jesus might have been hated by the experts, but can I tell you, Jesus was loved by the ditch dwellers. Jesus might have been despised by those who thought they were experts, but Jesus is loved by those who knew he was righteous. You see, the scripture goes on and it says, the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I am here. I want you to see that the Samaritan didn't just wash his wounds, kindness for a moment, and then just leave the man hoping for the best. No, the Samaritan takes the man to the place where he can be cared for. He takes him to the in. And this is who we believe God has called us to be. God has called us to be the inn. This is the place where Jesus, the Good Samaritan, can drop off those people who are hurting, those people who are broken, those people who are confused and frustrated, those people who are full of pain and pride, those people who have been wounded and disappointed and are currently disillusioned with life. This is the place where Jesus, the Good Samaritan, can bring them. And yes, Jesus is going to do what only he can do. And he's going to take care of those wounds. And he's going to get them here to this place. But Jesus is going to drop them off right here and say, will you be an inn? Will you take care of these people? You see, Jesus can drop off anyone here at North Point Community Church. He can drop off anyone here at the inn, regardless of their past decisions, regardless of their present conditions. They will be cared for because that is who we have determined we will be. We will be the inn at the crossroads of life. We know that everybody needs an inn, but every inn needs an innkeeper. And when Jesus showed up at the inn, come on, wouldn't it have been bad? Jesus knocked on the door, the Good Samaritan in the story, the Good Samaritan knocks on the door and there was no innkeeper. There was nobody to take care of this man. Come on, whenever Jesus knocks on our door, we don't want to be empty-handed and say, well, sorry, we're not available. No, whenever Jesus knocks on the door of the inn, there are innkeepers that say, Jesus, we've been waiting for you to bring one more person who was wrapped up in the lies and the labels, wrapped up in lust and deception. We were so ready for you to bring one more person who was so full of selfishness that they couldn't even see past their own self. We are so glad that you brought this person. We are here to love them and to serve them and to be here for them. Jesus continues on and he says, now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. In one story, Jesus makes two powerful points. In one story, come on, Jesus, mic drop, exit stage left. In one story, he makes two points, and the first was this. The Samaritan is your neighbor. The one that you told me a moment ago that you were supposed to love like you loved yourself, the Samaritan is your neighbor. You must love the Samaritan as much as you love yourself. Jesus didn't stop there. And he said, and hey, while you're at it, why don't you be like the Samaritan. I mean, can you imagine what this crowd was thinking? The emotions of this Jewish crowd as Jesus was telling this story, that Samaritan is your neighbor. Love them like they are your brother. And not only that, he said, why don't you go ahead and be like the Samaritan? Why don't you be like this despised Samaritan? Why don't you see people? Why don't you feel compassion for people? Why don't you go to people? And why don't you serve them with all of your heart? You see, the key to really loving and caring for your neighbor is to always remember that we need a Savior. That's the key. The key to loving your neighbor is just to remember that we need a Savior. You see, here at North Point Community Church, we help ditch dwellers because we are ditch dwellers. And through Christ, we've been given a chance to become a child of God and to have our sin forgiven and our heart healed and our soul made whole. We've gotten in alignment with God and we've received an assignment from God to be innkeepers. And it is by God's grace and by his power that we can take that assignment and we can take that position as an innkeeper. But let us never forget who we are without Jesus. We are ditch dwellers. And we remember the state of our heart and our soul without Jesus, then every single person that walks through the door, every person that walks into the inn, will be met by innkeepers who are ready to love and serve the way that Jesus has loved and served us. And today you are going to hear a video. You're going to hear a story from Patricia. And I can tell you, I love this story because it wasn't that long ago that she came into the inn. And what she found in the inn has completely transformed her life.
When I was growing up, I was not raised in the church, had no religious background. My brother and I were not taken to church on Sundays. And then got into teaching, grew up, and then I met Kelly Hannis, and that's when my life changed forever. Kelly invited me to come to church, and I said, oh, okay, maybe. And when she walked off, I said, nah, probably not. And I didn't. I backed out. And she waited about 2 weeks, and she came back, and she goes, this is going to be going on at the church. Why don't you come? Just come and have some fun. It's no, okay. And I didn't go. And this went on for about 6 months, getting up to Easter Sunday. And the week before, Kelly came to me after school, and she handed me a ticket, an invitation that the church had actually given out. She said, here. I'm inviting you, the church is inviting you. Think about it and come. And I was, okay, and I took it. And finally on that Sunday morning, I got up and I was like, I'm going to go. Well, when I got here that Easter Sunday, I parked in the parking lot, and it was pretty crowded, which I figured it would be, knowing it was Easter. And I came into the sanctuary, found Kelly where they were sitting, and then the worship team came up and started playing, and everybody started standing up and getting into the singing and the praising and the hand raising. And I'm kind of like, okay, this is different. Don't understand this, but okay, I can get with it. And we sat down after the worship, and Pastor Philip came out and started talking and got into the service. And sitting there was like, oh, okay, this isn't bad. This isn't the brimstone and the yelling and screaming preaching that when I had seen church, or the few times in there I had ever gone, definitely was not for me. And just started feeling, oh, I like this. Okay, I can understand this. This doesn't, and I enjoyed it. And I walked out and got out to my truck, and I came back on that Sunday. I pulled up again the next Sunday and had to get used to the coming in again. And it was like, okay, came in, and Pastor Philip came out and did the declaration and got into the sermon of talking about how your life is built on a foundation. He had a little house made out of Legos there and started talking about it. And then he actually knocked it down or did something where it kind of fell apart. And was like, oh, this is, but it makes sense because it went along with what he was saying. If you don't have this, you cannot have the full structure. You have to have the foundation. I could understand that. And that's what made it so fascinating to me, going, God could love me even if I don't have this foundation, as long as I'm working on it. And even if your foundation's not solid, you mess up, you come back and do it again. And if you mess up, you come back and do it again. And you'll get that foundation. I was hooked. And I left, and I was like, I'm coming back. So I came back the next Sunday. And just kept coming back. As I kept coming and listening and reading and learning, I could start to understand, to see how I could handle things in a totally different way. Seeing how Jesus would handle it, going, this is what Jesus did. Our purpose is to live like him. And things that I would used to just get so angry about or frustrated with, I could step back and go, don't do that. I don't have to do that anymore. So I could let things go. I didn't stress so much about things. I could see how I reacted to people differently, especially my students. Oh my goodness, how I treated my students in my classroom. was one of the biggest changes. And that's when I started to realize I do have a purpose here. I do have a reason. And I need to do this walk. And I want to do this walk. The community here at North Point is a wonderful community to be a part of. When I first started coming, I was very introverted and didn't want to be a part of anything. But the more I kept coming every Sunday, the more that I reached out and came, the more people reached out. I keep showing up because of that love I feel now for Jesus. So I'm going to keep coming back, to keep living that life, to keep doing the right things, to keep learning about Jesus and everything he has planned for me.
What an incredible story of transformation. What an amazing story of change. You know, one of the things that I loved about that story is that she said, I just kept coming. I just kept showing back up, and I wasn't sure about things, but I just kept on coming back. And she says, my life has been transformed, and I am a better teacher today because of what Jesus has done in my heart. I am able to love my students in a way. I'm able to serve my students in a way that I could not before because what I experienced at the end. I love that story. It is really a story of persistence. It is a story of commitment. And you know, Jesus talked about that. Actually, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11. He said, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives, and he who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be open. You see, Jesus talking to his disciples here, he's talking about prayer, but I want you to know that persistence is a kingdom principle. Jesus actually shares a story right before this in Luke chapter 11, and then also in Luke chapter 18, he shares a story about the persistence of a widow, the persistence of the person who did not have any food in their house. It's a story of persistence. This is a kingdom principle. Let me just give you a couple things to think about as we wrap up today. And Jesus says, you need to ask and keep on asking. You need to seek and keep on seeking. You need to knock and keep on knocking. Let me just bring 3 points out of that. First is this: the questions you are asking determines the answers you are receiving. The questions you are asking determines the answers that you are receiving. You see, sometimes we can ask the wrong questions, and when we ask the wrong questions, we're not going to get the right answers. Right now, so many people are asking, what's wrong with other people? Instead of asking the other question, what's wrong with me? People are asking, well, why is all of this happening? Instead of asking, how can I handle what is happening in our world? People ask questions like, when will all of this be over? Instead of asking, what can I learn from this? You see, the questions that you are asking is going to determine the answers that you are receiving. And we must be persistent about asking the right questions so that we can persistently receive the right answers and the right things in our lives. There's the second thing that I would say. The approval you are seeking determines the fulfillment that you are finding. The approval that you are seeking, just says seek and keep on seeking, but you got to seek the right things. The approval you are seeking determines the fulfillment that you are finding. See, trying to get other people's approval is not going to lead you to the life of fulfillment. Even if you get it, even if you get people's approval, it will never, ever be enough. You see, but whenever you seek first the kingdom of God, whenever you live your life for God's approval above everything else, then you will find the ultimate fulfillment. You see, the approval that you are seeking determines the fulfillment that you are finding. Make sure you are trying to find your approval in the right place, because it will determine the fulfillment that you find in this life. And can I tell you, friends, God is approving of you. God says you are my child. God says that you are more than a conqueror. God says, I have forgiven your sins. You're a part of my family. God says, I have given you a mission and an assignment. And as John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and Jesus came up and the Father spoke, and he says, this is my Son whom I love, and in him I am well pleased. Come on, that's what God speaks over you. And if you are trying to get your approval from another place, you are not going to get the fulfillment that you are searching for. Here's the last thing that I would share with you today, and that is the doors you are knocking determines the opportunities you are opening. The doors you are knocking determines the opportunities that you are opening. Whose door are you knocking on for advice, for wisdom, for perspective? Whose door are you knocking on to lead you and to guide you? You know, you've probably heard the phrase before, show me your friends and I will show you your future. You could take it a step further and say, show me the door that you are knocking on and I will show you the opportunities that you are walking into. You see, you need to knock on people's door who believe in you. You need to knock on people's door who are for you. You need to knock on people's door who are journeying in the same direction as you. You need to knock on people's door who want to help you become the very best that you can be. You need to knock on people's door, people who are going to speak positive things over you. Those are the doors that you need to be knocking on. And in Patricia's story, this is what we see. It's just a story of persistence, of knocking on the right doors. Even when I'm uncertain, even when things are unclear, I'm knocking on the right doors and I am talking to the right people. I'm seeking approval from the one who can actually give me my ultimate fulfillment that I need in life. And I begin to ask the right questions. And when you start asking the right questions, you start finding the right answers. And when you start finding the right answers, you begin to move into the abundant life that Jesus has called us to live. You see, you got to be persistent. You have to be persistent in your asking, persistent in your seeking, persistent in your knocking. And if you will remain persistent, then you can experience the transformation that God has in store for you, the same way that Patricia has experienced transformation in her life as well. Can I pray for you today? Why don't you just bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. Right now, you might be saying, Philip, I am in a ditch. I am having a difficult time. I am finding myself right now overwhelmed with life. And maybe it's your own choices and decisions that put you in that ditch, or maybe it was the choices and the decisions of somebody else. But no matter what, you are sitting in a place of pain. You are hurting. You are discouraged and disappointed. And you need Jesus. You need Jesus right now in this moment to come and rescue you out of that ditch of despair. You need Jesus to come rescue you out of the season of sin that you are in. You need Jesus to come and pull you out of that place that you are, regardless of how you got there or how long you have been there. Friend, hear me right now. Jesus desires to come and help you out of the place that you are and to bring you into everything that He has for you. And if you say, Philip, that's me today, I need Jesus to come and rescue me. Come on, can you just whisper that under your breath right now? Say, that's me, Jesus, that's me. Jesus, I need you. I need you to come and rescue me. I need you to come and heal my heart. I need you to come and forgive my sin. I need you to come and give me a brand new life. Friend, that's what Jesus wants to do. Just say, Jesus, that's me today. I need you. I need that brand new life. And maybe today you say, Philip, not only do I need Jesus to come and pull me out of the ditch, but you say, Philip, I need the inn. I need the inn. I need that place of community. I need that place where I'm not going to be judged for my mistakes and my flaws. I need that place where I can be loved and encouraged and accepted. I need that place. I need that place that's going to help me deal with my issues. I need that place that's going to help lead me and guide me into everything that God has for me while not shaming me for who I am and the choices that I've made in the past. You say, Philip, that is the place that I need. I need the inn. Friend, can I tell you, there's always going to be an innkeeper here. There's always going to be somebody that's going to walk with you, somebody that's going to encourage you, somebody that's going to pray with you, somebody that is going to journey with you. There's always going to be an innkeeper, and you are welcome at the inn. You say, Philip, that's what I need. I need the inn. Come on, just tell God right now, God, that's me. God, I need the inn. I need the inn. I need the inn on this journey. I need safety and shelter. I need nourishment for my soul. That's what I need. I need a place to call home. That's what the inn is. It is your home. Father, thank you. Thank you right now. Thank you for all of those that said, I'm in a ditch and I need Jesus. Jesus, I believe right now you are pulling people out of the ditch. And Jesus, you're not going to just pull them out of the ditch and bandage up their wounds and say, okay, good luck. You're on your own now. No, Jesus, you are going to make sure that they find their way into community, that they find their way here to the inn where they can be cared for by the innkeepers. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in people's hearts and lives. Thank you for what you are doing in our community. Thank you that we are the inn right here in Bossier City, placed at the crossroads of people's lives so that they can find everything that they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, put an amen on that. Hey, I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. And I am so pumped up about these weeks we have coming up. Every week, you're going to be hearing an encouraging testimony. You're going to be hearing a story of somebody's whose life was changed right here at the end. So I expect to see you right back here next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.